You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show. And Chris Santiago had to hit the bullpen right now as...
What's up, guys?
There we go. Chris is in the building.
Yeah, there he is.
Area 45 zone. Tyler had to step out for important fan duties for the Texans. He had to head to that fan council as he did last year. He is a part of that. He is going down to talk some real business. Some of you out there may be on your way. I know Larry's ass is a part of this. Some of y'all out here may be on your way to the fan council, and you'll be a part of it with Tyler. But Tyler had to dip out for important information. I'm not going to say he's our mole, but we are getting top of the line information about what the Texans are thinking, coming from Tyler Milner. So he's out the rest of this show, but that's all right. We got our guy Chris Santiago who will hold it down. As he always does. All right, Clint, the injury report is out for both teams, and I will get to this long ass list of the Baltimore Ravens as they are 14, 15 deep on this injury report. But for the Texans, Clint, three guys, the two very important guys, Derek Stingley Jr. did not practice with that oblique. If we remember, he didn't practice all last week, but he still played in the game and got an interception. Foley Fatakasi with the shoulder did not practice today. And then Will Anderson Jr. Now, it has it listed here as not injury-related and rest. But D'Amico, when he spoke about it, and I don't know, maybe he just didn't separate the two, but he talked about Derek Stingley and Will Anderson. He said they're both working through some things and they're day-to-day. So not sure if it's rest, what that meant. Hopefully by this designation, it looks like it's nothing to be concerned about because, you know, it rest is rest. Hey, maybe we've talked about this a lot with Will. Sometimes you gotta pull him off the field, to, you know, so he doesn't just wear his own self out. But interesting look here, what they have listed compared to what he said when he spoke.
Yeah, I'm gonna take D'Amico's word for it. I think it would have been very easy to say, look, we're all aware of Stingley's injuries, working through some things, and Will just needed a day off. I mean, it would have been very easy to say that. I mean, I think he's being pretty transparent when he says that they're both working through some things, and we're gonna monitor them throughout the week and see how they respond. So I'm gonna take D'Amico's word for it.
But
at the end of the day, look, the key for both of these guys, right, is, you know, with a bye week coming up after this game, can you get through this game and get to a 2 week period where you can recover? I mean, I know Derek Stingley Jr., he's been fighting this thing since the damn first game And so hopefully he can get right over the break. And whatever Will does have going on, hopefully he can get right over the break. One, I guess I hope they can survive and play up to par on Sunday, but then get to the bye week and get right for the that long stretch of games on the back half.
I would say for Derek, clearly based off what we saw last week, my concern of him missing the game is not very high, right? Like, last week it was different. This week he just missed the whole last week, and then he jumped on the field, and they were really cautious. I would imagine if he doesn't practice this week, he seemed to be, you know, fine after the game. No reports that he re-injured it or made it worse. You know, I don't have as much concern about him. We'll see. If we look on here tomorrow and he doesn't practice again tomorrow and maybe something comes up, then maybe we'll look at it. Because right now it says rest. But as you said, D'Amico said clearly he was working through something. So we'll see. Derek, not as concerned about him actually getting on the field on Sunday due to what happened last week. Limited participation in practice for the Texans. D'Amico Autry, who is returning with the knee. Harrison Bryant has a shoulder. Nico Collins with a knee. And Jalen Reed with a knee. They were all limited as well in practice. So those are guys to watch on. It looks like those are probably precaution guys. Now, for the Ravens, it's a little different. They've got a ton of guys on this. Their DMPs, the ones that didn't even participate, Nate Wiggins, who has the elbow, he is arguably playing corner the best for their team this year. Another receiver in Devontae Walker with an oblique issue did not practice. Ronnie Stanley, an important left tackle for them, did not practice. Roquan Smith, not a surprise, he didn't practice. He's already been ruled out for the next few weeks. Patrick Ricard, their 300-pound fullback, he has not played in several games. He also didn't practice. Marlon Humphrey with the calf, didn't practice. Owuzi, the other corner. So those are their three starting corners. They did not practice. He has a hamstring, so that is one that is really concerning. And then Lamar Jackson did not practice. Those are the big ones that didn't practice. But then even their limited participants, Kyle Hamilton with the groin, Emory Jones, a tackle with the shoulder. Travis Jones is returning. He missed last week, but he's back in there. Their center, Tyler Lindenbaum, who is a big part of their team with a calf injury. And then Kyle Van Noy, another important piece with a hamstring, has not played the last 2 weeks. He led their team in sacks and went to the Pro Bowl last year. He was a limited participant. All right.
You ought to be conditioned for that with the Astros put you through.
That's the Ravens. Man, you said it. Someone hit us up on Twitter and said, you got to stop saying skeleton crew. Guys, what we know so far is, like, we know they're going to be without Roquan Smith. We know they're going to be without Marlon Humphrey, right? Some of these other guys. Lamar Jackson is, the thought is he's not going to be ready maybe for a couple of weeks. Like, that's enough. A lot of these guys, I mean, they didn't have their entire defensive line last week, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is going to be a completely different Ravens team.
Well, I mean, look, the reality of it is it's going to be a skeleton crew to some degree. Now, how bad is it for the Ravens? I don't know. I'm hoping for the worst, to be completely honest with you, to get in there and get us a W. But it's going to be – I don't think the skeleton crew Ravens is inaccurate by any means, and I don't think that's going to change over the next couple of days. The reality of it is this game – this goes from a game – you can argue that they are missing four of their top five players.
Yeah.
I mean, you may get into a little bit of an argument or a debate about who's five and who's six, but you can argue they're going to be missing four of their top five players. I don't care how good a team you are. When that's the case, the dynamic shifts significantly. And so this is a game that, this is a game the Texans should win. Assuming that these injury reports hold up and guys do end up not playing, I think this is a game that the Texans have to win.
You're a have to win.
Yeah, I mean,
have to win, Terry. Have to win.
Yeah. What do you mean with all these injuries? Lamar not playing.
Come on, man. One of the worst defenses in the league. I mean, you're talking about
six to nothing.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm 100%. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying I'm real comfortable saying it. I'm just saying We are a team that won 10 games last year. We're a team that went to the second rounds of the playoff last year. You come into the season, there are some expectations. If you're going to even get remotely close to meeting or exceeding those expectations, this is a game that you've got to win. I disagree with B. Scott. This just compete. Like look, the whole thing, there's a lot of people clearly in the media that look back on this, the history with the Baltimore Ravens. I doubt very seriously that, like, I believe D'Amico Ryans and these players, and they're like, yeah, whatever. I mean, that has nothing to do with what we do this year. I don't think they view them as, like, the boogeyman. I damn sure don't think they view them as the boogeyman with no Lamar Jackson, much less all the other guys. So, yeah, look, to me, this is a game you got to win. If you don't win this game, if you can't win this game after this has been, this team has given up 40 points twice this year already.
And 37 the other
time. I mean, yeah, it's like there's
if Chiefs shut it down at the start of the quarter.
Yeah, yeah, bro. If you can't win, if you can't win this game on the road versus this crew, assuming these injury reports hold up, it is significantly worse than I thought in Houston.
I'm trying. Listen, we got to move on.
Well,
We will pick it up. We will pick this up because we will get, because I want to get people's thoughts on this as well. We'll pick this up here in the next segment. Got a win game. All right.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, MLB playoffs going on right now. Red Sox, Yankees just underway. Two finals already. And now both series are tied. There were opportunities for the Tigers and the Cubs to shut things down and move on to the divisional round, but both of them lost those games today. Cleveland, they come back and they win 6-1. It was tied 1-1 in the eighth, and then they broke out and scored five runs in the bottom of the eighth inning to take that game and tie that series. And then the Padres, on a home run that is still going, hit by Manny Machado, they win 3-0 over the Cubs. Hey, Kyle got his first hit today.
Kyle Tucker
got his first hit. He was 0-3.
That's about right. You 2 games to get a hit. That's the Kyle Tucker we know.
1-7 in the series thus far.
That's about them numbers. That tracks.
But they lose that. So that series tied. So tomorrow we'll see Tigers, Guardians, Padres, Cubs. The winner of those games, they move on to the division series. The Red Sox and the Yankees are going right now. Alex Bregman, yesterday, 2-for-4, that tracks too, and had a huge RBI double to give them an insurance run in the bottom of the eighth that they seemed to really need as they loaded up the bases, the Yankees did, in the bottom of the ninth. So the top of the ninth, he gave up, was able to get an RBI double to push the lead out. They win yesterday. We'll see if they can win today. If they can win today, they close out this series against the Yankees and move on to the divisional round. Later on tonight, the Reds and the Dodgers. Real quick, fellas, and I know you guys watch it. Do you like this format? The baseball playoffs format? They've added more teams. The three-game series to start, the two teams getting byes, even though baseball is a sport of playing every day, but the two top seeds get byes in both leagues, and they have these three-game playoffs. Do you like this
format? Love it. Yeah. Love it. More teams, shorten the series. Make teams earn their way in. Yeah, I love it, man.
I feel like
The short series. It's like getting a 7-game series that's tied 2-2 and it's best of 3 to end.
I like it much better than the just, hey man, one and done here. We're gonna play $162 and then you got one wild card game. Even though they have had some great moments in that, but I do like the 3-game. I'm glad they're not doing what the WNBA does. The WNBA and their 3-game series. They play the first one on the higher seed, and then they fly to the other teams and play the game two in their arena. And if they win, and if it's tied, they fly back to where they played from. And it is a little aggressive. They're just play it all in one place, and I do like that part
of
it.
The WNBA does that?
Yes.
Seems like they could save a little money on them flights, couldn't they?
I would think, right?
I mean, let's play them first two. Play them first two at the favorites place. Then, if you can split there, we'll give you one at home.
No, let's just do what they do. Just play all three of them.
Play all three of them at the favorites.
That should be
a hell of a deal.
That's what happens here in baseball.
Yeah,
they play it at that one place with all that travel. And mind you, they're not east and west here. You can run into a scenario of Seattle playing New York in the first round. The first game's played in Seattle, second one New York, third one in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, like the WNBA.
Yeah, the way they do it. Because it's not east-west. It's just seeds, one through right. through six so, or eight. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I do like it. I like it better than, as you said, more teams than, just one team. One team's out.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, big news out of the NFL earlier this morning. The Browns have decided to bench Joe Flacco, and they are turning to Dillon Gabriel to be their starting quarterback. Flacco, said by Kevin Stefanski, will serve as Cleveland's backup Sunday, while rookie Shedeur Sanders will remain the third-string quarterback, sources told Adam Schefter. All right, you hear this, not a real surprise that Joe is getting replaced, but what to you is the biggest part of this entire quarterback situation in Cleveland that sticks out to you now?
There is nothing is a surprise, but I mean, going on there. But the Shedeur Sanders not bumping up to be the second. You know, a lot of reports said that Shedeur Sanders looked a lot better in the preseason than Dillon Gabriel. And I did not watch Cleveland's preseason, so I got nothing for you there. But I know a lot of the reports were that he played better, looked better. In quality reps, and so they both
played a good game, preseason game. Dylan Gabriel did, and then he struggled, and Shedeur struggled in the Rams
last
game.
One. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens if he struggles. Do they treat him like the guy that like their future, or do they start playing musical chairs with him and Shedeur Sanders? Does Shedeur ever get a shot to start, even though they are switching quarterbacks? So that storyline will reemerge for sure. I like Dylan Gabriel. I think you got to. An undersized, underarmed quarterback that does all the little things right with the footwork and the anticipation and the accuracy. And he was in college at, I think, at three different colleges about 18 years. And so he's mature.
63 or 64 starts with three schools.
Yeah. So I think Dylon Gabriel will, it's going to be fun to see whether he can have a little bit of success in Cleveland or not.
Yeah. We'll see it. You think Shedeur gets starts this year?
Yes. I think there's a really good chance that Dillon Gabriel gets hurt.
I don't think he's going to set the world on fire, and I don't even know if that has to do with Dillon. I mean, when you combine Dillon and what they have around him, I don't think any of them are going to set. So I just don't think it's going to be a situation where it's like, hey, we got to keep Dillon in. Like, he's playing so well, we can't go anywhere else. So I think the opportunity is going to be there. We'll see if it happens. All right, coming up, we'll pick up this conversation we had. And D'Amico Ryans talked about how big it would be if they picked up a W against the Ravens. We'll hear that and have a conversation about it. Is this a gotta-win game? Now, a game that we all thought was either going to be tough or an L when the schedule came out. Is this a gotta-win game now for the 1-3 Houston Texans? We'll discuss that next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Yankees just took a 2-0 lead. Was not Aaron Judge.
I got a message for those Yankee turds.
I know a lot of Astros fans. There's not hatred to the Red Sox, especially with Bregman over there. You need the Red Sox to go ahead and send these Yankees home. See if they can come back and do it. See if old Bregman can help lead the way like he did last night. Yankees on the brink. And the only negative thing is I think Aaron Boone probably gets fired if they lose. And I don't know if that may be helpful. That may be a bad thing for the Astros.
He should have been fired.
I'm not real sure he should have made it to this game after the crappy pull last night.
You don't think there's any chance that your boy that's the one that
Ooh, what are you talking
that
about?
That Dana's waiting on.
Oh, Boone? Are they buddies or something?
I'm just saying. You don't think like, oh, all right, I like Joe, but if Aaron Boone comes
up. I'll take Joe's musical chairs in the outfield before sitting one of your star players. I mean,
there's got to be a rule, man. If you got an OPS over 870 and you've hit 31 home runs on the season, like you played 140 games, you get to play.
Yeah, you're in a three-game series.
You get to play in the postseason.
Yeah, it's illegal to bench you.
Did the Astros have anybody do that? I don't think they had anybody hit 31 home runs. Dog, man. Could you imagine that? Hey, man. I know you had a pretty good year, but we've got to sit you down, man. This lefty is something else.
I don't know. Be honest with you, I don't know. I mean, Jazz is a pretty vocal guy.
I'm surprised. He held it together.
I don't know how he didn't lose it.
I'm proud of him. He held it together.
Now, I mean, I would have lost it before the game.
I thought he was going to go miming like Shador did today. But, I mean, he turned around.
Wasn't he talking to the media like turned or like he had his back turned to the media?
What's the owner's name? What's the GM's name?
Cashman.
Mm-hmm. He should have went up there and sat with Cashman in the box. Cashman said, what the hell are you doing up here?
Jazz Chisholm, those numbers, hey, man, I just go and get ready for batting practice type guy. You're not a let me go walk and see what the lineup is, right?
No, I'm driving. Yeah.
I go check, see where I'm at in it. Maybe let's see how low he put me with the
I didn't kick
on.
It last night because I know I'm in this lineup. Like, I cut my night short.
All right, you ain't lying. Hey, man, he'd have been out. He'd have been out last night.
Yeah,
if I ain't playing.
I'm pitching in the ninth. Hell, I'm kicking it till 2 a.m.
I'm in the lounge. I'm here getting lit.
Where they at? Are they in Boston?
Oh, they're in New York.
I'm at home, too. Either way, I'm sure he could have found something to stroll off into in Boston, too.
I was about to really show my age. I know that place doesn't exist anymore. I was about to really go, man. I'll be at 40-40. I'm certain that place is closed.
In New York?
40-40 Club, I am certain.
Yeah, Jay-Z's?
I'm certain that's shut down. Yeah, we lost that one.
Jay-Z got tired of bleeding that money, huh?
I don't know if it was his choice, but.
Fair.
But that is done. No, weird situation for Aaron Boone. He may be out of here if they lose this puppy. All right. This was D'Amico Ryans. He spoke to the media earlier today, and he was asked, what would it feel like to go ahead and get the Baltimore Ravens monkey off their back?
Hey, the thing about this game, we understand Baltimore and the success they've had at home has been really well, and we understand where we've been in that battle, right? It hasn't been good, but that doesn't matter. past is the past. It's all about these teams this year at this specific time. Like, how do we go out and do what we need to do to execute, to play complementary football, play as a team, play together, and how do we need to finish? We finish the right way, you know, we can go win the football game.
All right, Clint, you're on it. Like, I've been kind of going back and forth on what the expectation should be. And I think maybe we can go a little deeper on this tomorrow, what the expectations should be for this game. But I saw you nodding your head too, and I've seen some people here on the text line saying, I agree with Clint, they got to win this game. If they don't win this game, I'm calling for Davis Mills. That's a bit aggressive from the text line. That's more than a bit aggressive. let me go back there and slide that in. Totally with Clint. They have to win this. Actually, stupid to think otherwise. 1-4. Nah, they have to win. I'm not complete with my thought process on this because, yes, when you look at this, I have to not look at this Texans team the way I looked at it before the season. Like, in my mind, I think, all right, they should be able to hold this offense down without Ronnie Stanley or when Lamar Jackson. But I think this may be the game where Todd Monken is forced to say, all right, man, I gotta run Derek 25 times. And that, like, that part of it is, and still this defense with D'Amico, who's not calling plays anymore, but Matt Burke, like, they should be able to deal with that. But I'm still not ready to just go, all right, this is a must-win game. That my expectation is that they should win this game because they just haven't played to the level. I think they found something in the fourth quarter, but still, I don't know. I mean, there's Derrick Henry. They're on the road. There's all of this. I mean, the Texans have not shown to be a good football team this year. They've not shown to do that. And to make myself say, all right, you haven't shown to be a good football team. You've had some real struggles in certain areas. And even though this team is depleted, they still have – I mean, they probably still – Derrick Henry's still probably the best player on the field. Maybe Stingley, maybe Will Anderson. I don't know. I mean, they've got one of the best players on the field. Kyle Hamilton's pretty good for this team. They just got some dudes for me to just say, you haven't been a good football team. You're going to go on the road and beat this team that's desperate as hell.
Yeah.
In the Ravens. I don't know that I'm ready to go there yet.
Look, I think this is a must-win football game. I think the noise around the Houston Texans get really, really loud if you fall to 1-4. And you do it by losing to a Baltimore team that literally has four of its best five or six players out. And we're talking about impact players, Lamar Jackson. We're talking about, Matt Abike, one of the best interior defensive linemen in the game, one of the best off-ball linebackers in the game. Their best corner. Like, it's a skeleton crew if the injury reports hold up. And I just think this is a must-win situation. I think this is to start the season, we thought the Texans were going to be better than this. The question now is, how bad are they? How bad can this get? And I think this is a measuring stick game in terms of how bad they are. If you can't go to Baltimore and you can't beat a team that is without four of their top six players, including the MVP, absolute game-changing quarterback, that just is arguably the most difficult defend in the league. If you can't go up there and find a way to win, you've got major, major problems. Now, does that come in the shape of this is the most physical downhill run attack that they've seen this year? So the O-line is healthy, yeah, and Derrick Henry's going to be carrying the ball, and you've already given up 30 for 169.
I mean, they saw those double teams.
Right. So does the defense get exploited, and do they give up too many points to where the offense can't keep up? Or does the offense go out there, and just because this is a healthier franchise that knows how to practice and knows how to give effort and knows how to scheme some things up, does the offense go out there and wet the bed and look like they have no idea what they're doing or what they want to do. They can't protect the quarterback. They can't create separation. They can't run the football. Like, what – in order to lose this game, your defense has to be – which is, from a points perspective, has been the best in the league. Your defense has to be worse than expected, and your offense has to be worse than expected to lose this game. This is a must-win for the Texans. If you don't win, if you fall to,
I'm trying to think. Like I said, must win.
Yeah, I mean, you lose this game and fall to 1-4. We got to start getting worried about.
We got to start
worrying about being a 4 or 5 win team.
I'm with you. Like let me just ask this question then from you and the people, Chris. You can jump in. Would you be shocked if they lost this game? You'd be surprised.
I would be. I'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised if they lost this game.
You'd be surprised.
I would.
Not quite as much, Chris, as I would have been last week.
Really.
Yeah. No.
With no Lamar, I mean, they're missing Roquan Smith. They're missing their defensive tackle. They're missing a lot of key players, man. This is a must-win game. No matter what, it's a must-win.
I think it is a must-win game for their season. I think they look a lot different if they lose this game. But you're saying your expectation is, like, you're surprised if they walk out of Baltimore with a loss.
I'm going to be disgusted. I'm going to be sick.
You're going to be sick?
Sick.
Just think about it. Houston Texans lose to Cooper Rush.
Yeah, I mean.
And Derrick Henry, I guess. You want to throw him in there?
Yeah, I mean, it was 6-0. And their kicker missed 2 40-yard field goals against the Titans. This should have been 6-6.
Well, I mean, I think it just depends.
I'm just saying, John.
Like, when you came into this season, did you think there was any chance, knowing what you knew? And I think we had probably the more accurate gauge on what was going to happen offensively than anybody that I've heard talking about it, to be honest with you. We were more concerned about Nick Kaley and everything, and it looks like that's holding to be true. I mean, did you think this is going to be a 4 or 5 win team?
No.
If you lose this ball game to a skeleton crew Baltimore team with no Lamar Jackson, you are on the verge of being a 4 or 5 win football team.
I know we got to get to break, but have your expectations adjusted for this team within the first 4 weeks of the season?
100%.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They've adjusted. Like, this is a different team. This ain't Cooper Rush. Hell, I mean, Trevor tried to give you the game. And you couldn't do nothing with it.
They've adjusted. I don't believe you're going further in the playoffs, and I don't believe that you have the Super Bowl aspirations and that stuff's out the window. I damn sure hope we ain't staring a 4 or 5 win season in the face.
Well, yeah, if they lose this game, you might be. But
did you see the list of defenses that I posted on Twitter? The top defenses in the league, the Texans are number 1 in points allowed. The next five are all on our schedule.
Yeah, I know.
And if we lose this week, we're going to be sitting 1-4 with five of the remaining games are going to be against the best defenses in the league.
You still got at Indy, at Kansas City.
Them too. Kansas City and Indy weren't in the bunch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's.
All right, coming up, one thing that they need to make a decision on, and we've talked about a little bit, they have got to make a decision on this move with their offense. We'll discuss that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. Come on out with us tomorrow, whether you love us, which you should, whether you're on the fence about us, like I am about this expectation that they should win this game on Sunday, which I'm certain we'll discuss more tomorrow. Or you've wanted to confront us for a long time about sports takes. That's fine. Come on out. We'll be out there tomorrow. We'll be Buffalo Wild Wings, a little thirsty Thursday in the building. We will be 3939 Washington Ave here in Houston. B. Scott said he was going to make his way on out there. It will be a good time. Shout out to our good friends at Bud Light and Buffalo Wild Wings. We never come empty-handed. You got a chance to win prizes, have good food, good drinks. I'm talking beers. I'm talking mixed drinks, whatever you want. They've got it for you there at Buffalo Wild Wings. So, again, come out with us tomorrow, 3939 Washington Ave here in Houston. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time being had out there. So make your way with us. Clint, this is something I think they need to change, man. And we've discussed this a little bit. And I am rather confused by it. It is still the most confusing thing. And if you missed it, B. Scott, hell, he wanted to get DeMeco to go a little deeper into it earlier when he was talking to the media, and clearly he didn't, which means to me, like,
oh, back off a bit,
back off of that there. Yeah, that's something we don't feel like talking about. And that is, I just think it's super ridiculous that they are going into games on the offensive line, the position that is next to their left tackle, who is a rookie, who Clint clearly has a lot on his plate, and a guy that at times we've seen the first 4 weeks. Now, shout out to Ariante Ursary. His name wasn't called a lot, much quieter with Ursary in this last game against the Titans than what Josh Hines Allen did to him in that first game, and not even Josh Hines Allen, what Nick Caserio did to him in that first game by leaving him on an island as much as he did. Good to hear from him on that. I would think, Clint, that you're trying to help him as much as possible. And to think that you would have some sort of a rotation mid-game. Hell, if it was game to game, that would make it even more sense because he knows who he's working with. But, I mean, hell, he may have two series with Juice, two series with Lakin, then come back with Juice. And when they got to deal with the communication with all of the stunts and the games that teams play, hell, we saw Ed Ingram run into Titus Howard because he missed a communication from the quarterback that almost got CJ decapitated by Jeffrey Simmons. I think it's just really, really strange, Clint, that they continue to roll right now with the last two games of some sort of a, I don't know, an in-game competition that they're running between Lakin and Juice Scruggs. It is strange to me.
Yeah, it's strange. I think this is one of those smartest guy in the room type things.
Yeah.
Because look, I mean, here's the reality. Even if you do it for one game and it's strange and it's unorthodox and it doesn't, you know, it's not the normal way of doing things for a team that constantly preaches, we're going to have competition at every position, and with the offensive line in particular, we're going to play our best five every week, to all of a sudden, the competition in the offseason from guys, by the way, that were all healthy the entire offseason for the most part, they know who these guys are. They know whether they can play or not. The competition should have ended when the season started, which we thought it did, and Juice Scruggs was the odd man out. All of a sudden now, there's still some kind of competition going on to left guard, that position that's not just practice, but it's actually going over, running over into games. I think that is something that if you're a well-oiled machine on offense, and if you're scoring a bunch of points and you got a lot of confidence and guys have a lot of reps in everything you do, even in that instance, I think it would be unorthodox. I think it'd be a little bit weird, a little bit awkward to have a competition going on to left tackle or left guard position by choice in game. To be an offense that's struggling mightily and one of the worst in the league, it's almost laughable. So, I cannot help but look at this. I know it's crazy. I think Nick Caserio and DeMeco Ryans are better, are above having a competition, you know, run over, spill over into two regular season games. I think they're beyond that. I can't.
Have you ever seen that?
I have not, no. Now, there's obviously, I've known guys are on thin ice and, hey, you're not playing very well, get the hell out of here, we're going to put somebody else in there. But to go into a game with a plan to rotate, which is what DeMeco said, that is very, very strange. And I just choose to believe that it is not a competition that's taking place on Sunday. I choose to believe that they think so highly of Juice Scruggs that they want to get him some run in a game as well. And they want to make sure he's prepared if they do indeed lose any of the interior offensive linemen. He's going to be the guy that they insert. Right guard, left guard, center. He's the guy that would play. And the one place where I can, Ron, find some level of, okay, it makes sense, is if there is an injury and Juice has to play having rotated at that left guard position will benefit him greatly versus coming off the bench, cold turkey, has not played in this offense, everything's new to him, at least at game speed, he will have benefited from it. The question is the risk worth the reward, right? I mean, you're risking rolling a different guard in at left guard every single game, almost drive to drive. And I know it's the rotation's not that egregious, but it is a very weird, strange way to approach trying to get the best pass protection, the best offensive line play that you possibly can. If it's that important to get Juice Scruggs reps, then just start him.
Yeah.
Make him the guy. Yeah. Let's ride.
It's such a flip to where they were. Like, we're going to do everything we can to not get you on the field, that we would flip three different positions in week one to not get you on the field to, oh, man, I think we got a competition. Let's do this. And not just a competition, but an in-game competition. It is strange.
It's strange, no doubt. I mean, it is, and I'm anxious to see it unfold. I've been higher on Juice.
It seems
Scruggs.
Like a lot of people feel like Juice has well, clearly played better.
I think Juice, for me, I liked Juice last year when he played. Now I realize that there's some issues. Hell, there was issues Sunday. I mean, he got beat like a drum on two different plays that you're just like, gosh, dang, man, what the hell happened there? But there's no – like Juice is one of those guys where I can understand why a coach – wants to give him every single opportunity. You know, you like, and I hate to take the shot, but it's the reality. You look at a guy like Kenyon Green, and I don't understand why a coach would want to give him every opportunity under the sun, other than you drafted him early high. and you want to be right. Like, Juice is a guy that is built the right way. Juice is a guy that moves the right way. He approaches the game in a physical manner. He like that. The ceiling is high, and it's exactly what you want at a guard. And you have it, like, you look at him and you go, man, this guy can be really, really good. And so I think that does show up, I think, pretty often in his play. But there's a reason why he didn't beat Ed Ingram or Jake Andrews or Lakin Tomlinson out. Clearly, there's some level. I go back to how he's not the starting center for this team. I think there's some kind of communicating. Processing issue with Juice Scruggs that's slowing him down. And that's fine. I mean, some guys come in and they're super cerebral, and maybe they've had that, maybe their college program forced them to mature and develop mentally, and maybe his didn't. I don't know, but I can't help but think when I watch Juice Scruggs, like, there's something that's holding him back, and it's not his physical abilities, or he would have been the center and Jake Andrews would have never been here.
They moved up to get him. You know, they wanted to. Yeah. They wanted him to be that. They moved up to get him. All right, again, tomorrow, come out with us. Washington Ave, 3939 Washington Avenue. Thirsty Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings. We went there a lot last year. It's a great spot in the city. Come hang out with us. Buffalo Wild Wings, Bud Light. They'll take care of you, and you get to hang out with us and have some fun on a little Thirsty Thursday. Come on out tomorrow with us. Clint, great job. Chris, we appreciate you jumping in. Tyler holding it down as well. He's at the fan council. We'll see what he learned tomorrow. I am Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. He should be a bigger weapon than Woody Marks, and that's not anywhere close to that. Right now, he looks like an Applebee's receiver.
Okay.
You know, Applebee's, they got that promotion. You roll in there and get that 2 for $20. That's
got a whole rat in my Cobb salad.
It looks like he's
a whole rat in your Cobb salad.
What, they got a pasta with that 2 for $20? Get him some chips and salsa for free, I believe.
3 for $20 last week for Christian.
There you go. It's a special.
3 for $20. Certainly does look delicious.
Why are you doing this?
Applebee's has rats.
I found a whole rat in my Cobb salad.